there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, lasvegassun.com, lasvegasweekly.com, and for all of the titles in Greenspun Media Group. And joining me, as always, is Tricia McCrone, my co-host and dear friend. Trish, take it away.
I thought it sounded like I was going to start tap dancing or singing or something. Lately, I talk about tap dancing a lot, and yet I'm not a very good tap dancer.
Are you trained to tap?
I have taken a tap class in my day, but I am not what I would call proficient.
People who are in that culture say tap. They don't say tap dancing. Yes. I'm into tap.
I'm no Paula Abdul. Let's put it that way.
Be happy for that.
Yes, but speaking of Paula Abdul, nice segue. We had a roast that you were a roaster
Speaking
to the other
Paula
day.
Paula Abdul, I was out of my mind the other night. I joke, of course. We need to have her on the show. Remind me.
Yes, okay. I'll call her on my way.
Call. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Paula. We had a roast. We did the Showbiz Roast, the first of what we expect to be a recurring number.
Okay, and as something tells me there may not be. But if you want to hear more about the show,
also.
What happened, you need to, last week's show, you can look it up on Cats with the, Cats with the Dish, the Cats Report. It will take you to it. Listen to last week's show. We'll explain.
Yeah, and it's a the brainchild of Andy Walmsley and Chris Phillips of Zoe Boy, who Chris was the first roastie, and we did this at the Stratosphere Showroom very late on Tuesday night.
Yes.
Yeah, Tuesday night. God, days are mixed up. That's what happens when you stay at a place until 5 a.m.
But you know, it was like that because we were late. Saturday night was Alicia Jacobs' birthday that we went to with the wine tasting.
Well, right, yeah,
you judged some sort of a comedy contest.
I judged a comedy contest at Riviera before that.
And we ended up in our own private floor at the Voodoo. Well, I don't think I'd been there in 10 years. And, you know, overlooking the city. So we were there till God only knows what hour that night. Then the next night was Broadway Bears. We were there till God only knows what hour. And then came, you know, Tuesday night.
Which was
didn't even start till like midnight.
It was
o'clock.
Right before midnight that it actually started for a show that was supposed to start at 11.
And there was about 102 roasters on the stage, so that was good.
There were a lot of roasters. It was a long time spent on stage flaying Chris Phillips, and this was set up the model was the old Dean Martin roast, kind of, with a blend of the new Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Dean Martin for the Las Vegas component, more like Comedy Central for the viciousness that some people took after Chris. But we had
not just Chris. It was a good deal of it was
point.
Towards
Absolutely
all of the
right.
other roasters.
Yeah, fair point. We had, let's go through, I'll name check many of them. George Wallace, Vinny Favorito, Frankie Shinta, Justin Spencer of Recycled Percussion, Murray Sawchuck, Clint Holmes, Kelly Clinton Holmes. Among the roasters, we had Mike Hammer was the host. We had Dana Rosselli as one of the roasters.
Lorena
we had Lainer
Peril
of Fantasy was one of the roasters.
Brian Thomas.
Lowercase G at Kissed by Monster Mini Golf. He's a spokesman for Kissed by Monster Mini Golf. He was there. Dennis Bono, who has his show down at Sam's Town. Right, Dennis Bono show?
I think it's at South Point
now. Oh, it's South
now.
Point now. Yeah. Formerly at Sam's Town. He's been around. Old school Las Vegas. That was the lineup. Robin Leach, my colleague, was on the dais. I don't think I'm getting everybody, but that was the lineup, myself. And it was a long string of people attacking Chris and each other. Gordy Brown.
Yeah, Gordy Brown. Can I say that some of it long was appropriate? That you were given a 4-minute.
We're given a 4-minute time limit.
And I think you stuck to that. And,
I was on
and that's
five
why you were very
minutes.
Good.
Minutes.
And you were very good and you were very funny and you were very quick and you were very concise. Some people just kept tap dancing, I guess you could say.
Tapping.
Is that just, you know, like there were some people were doing 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there were
made a long night.
No lie about that. And
but very
so
funny.
It was very funny, very long, and it was one of those things where it was you got the feeling that it was like how Las Vegas used to be in the old days when these people would get together and do these like events. Now Andy, who's the producer, Andy Walmsley, wants to do another one in a couple of months. He would like to do Frank Marino of Divas Las Vegas over at the Quad, and we would have the show at the Quad then, or they would. There's been a lot of banging around talking about what worked and what didn't work. And but for one night, it was a singularly entertaining event.
It was a huge success, and congratulations to all of you guys that were involved. I would be very curious to meet with a lot of people one-on-one that were on the dais to see if some things really did. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, it's a joke, it's funny, but some of it might not have been so.
I got to say, you know, having been up there, I would have a different feeling about it if I were in the audience, but when you're up there, you're in it. And so when the people you're sharing the stage with are involved in the same process, you don't feel that odd about what is going on. I don't know what it would be like to see somebody I know.
There were a few times that things were, I mean, even in a couple of people in regard to you, I mean, that a lot of it was funny and I knew, but some of it I was kind of like, oh, that was just, you know, like
I have so little to lose in the first place.
But I'm just saying that there was a couple of things that were, you know, yes, they were funny, but when you know the person very well, it was kind of like, it was a little uncomfortable.
You don't know how it's playing out there. Yeah, exactly. But I think that, you know, if you want to read the recount of it, I wrote about it, the rap stories in my column. But I think that it's important to remember, especially in the case, the wild card, and I knew this going in, and we talked about it going in, is Favorito, because Favorito is a professional roaster. He does this as part of his job. And he, when we talk about stuff that was where I thought, wow, are we going to go there? It was from Vinny. But you know what? That's what we expected, and he delivered it. And you know, I think there will be some tweaking to the process. I think that there will be a different set of roasters.
But for the first time out, it was great.
For the first time, I'll tell you what, it was better than, I got to say candidly, it was better than I thought it would be.
Much better. Great
job by Andy. Chris, a great sport. He took it, and also other members of the roasty panel also took it with a smile on their face. Congratulations to the Stratosphere, who got the bar take for a show that starts an hour late, right, at midnight.
There's a lot of drinking.
So congratulations to everybody. And with that, we got to get to our show. Coming up is somebody who was not part of the roast, but was part of Broadway Bears and is in Eye Candy at Sax Theater. Her name is Maren Wade. She's a great singer. She's up next. But before that, Josh Bell with Films.
This is David Sachs. You're listening to Cats with the Dish.
What's going on, DL?
You ever just get tired of being where you are, Adrian?
No. I kind of like it here. I mean, the weights are new to
I mean, in life, man.
When's the last time you paid your rent when it was due?
I got a plan to change that.
That's Mark Wahlberg and Anthony Mackie as a pair of bodybuilders in Michael Bay's new thriller, Pain and Gain. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. The mind-boggling true story of a gang of dim-witted, murderous bodybuilders in Miami in the mid-90s is too inherently fascinating for Michael Bay to completely screw it up, but he comes close. He certainly knows how to stage a chase sequence, but Bay is tone-deaf when it comes to humor, and what could have been wry and self-aware is instead just cartoonish. Even streamlined from the convoluted true story, the movie still feels too long, and Bay tries to fill in the lulls with his standard stylistic tricks. But there's no subtlety to what Bay does, and he runs roughshod over the small character moments and bungles most of the jokes. I give Pain and Gain 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is The Company You Keep, directed by Robert Redford, who stars as a former 1960s radical, alongside Shia LaBeouf as a dogged reporter tracking him down.
You know, clearly you have some kind of an agenda here. I don't have time for this book.
Don't actually. I don't care much for either side.
So what, that makes you fair and balanced?
Although the movie is structured as a thriller, there's no urgency or suspense, and Redford takes his time checking in with the various supporting characters who turn out to be largely irrelevant. LaBeouf's character never connects effectively with the story's central themes, and he comes off as more weaselly than dogged. He's meant to represent the next generation learning about the ideals of the 60s, but those ideals are delivered in a heavy-handed, pedantic way that completely obscures their value. I give The Company You Keep 2 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. The last time I saw our next guest, she was almost totally naked. That was at Broadway Bears.
Me too,
Planet
actually.
Hollywood, where she was the co-host. But she is better known as the singer in Eye Candy, the show at Sax Theater. Welcome to Cats with a Dish for the first time, Maren Wade.
Yay.
Welcome.
Hello, everyone.
Woo! Crackle swell.
I was expecting more of a response out of my intro there. When you say somebody, you saw somebody totally naked, usually you go, oh!
But it is Vegas.
Yeah, I was just going to say, isn't that like Tuesday? We see people like,
unfortunately, yeah. There's a lot of that going on
around
here.
Tuesday night.
It's just like, well, okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, that's not Zeddy.
Shocker.
I know, right.
But now you are relatively new to Las Vegas.
I am relatively new. I'm from LA, and I've been here full time for about 8 months now.
So are you used to it?
I'm getting used to it. There's still, I haven't gone through a full season here yet.
Oh, you haven't been summer.
No.
Oh.
So
yeah,
I came at end of summer.
You lose your fingerprints when you go to open your car doors.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Which in my case isn't a bad thing. What brought you to Las Vegas in the first place, Maren? What was the catalyst for that?
Well, performing. Originally, when I did America's Got Talent and we filmed it in Las Vegas, and it sort of planted the seed for me then that I wanted to come to Vegas and work in Vegas. And it took a few years to get here. I was on tours and other things. But I had then started working here part-time for a while, and then last August, I got full time.
But you were in what, Dancing Queen and some other things?
I was in Dancing Queen and Broadway Celebration at the Broadway Theater at New York. Mm-hmm. And then I moved over to I Can Do the Show. And now I'm back where we filmed America's Got Talent too, in Planet Hollywood.
Right. Tell me about your America's Got Talent experience. We have a lot of performers in Las Vegas who have gone through that process. Quite a few.
It was fun. I was on season two. It was the same season as Terry Fader. And, we all know how that turned out.
I was just about to say, what happened to him?
Yeah, whatever happened to him.
Maybe you should have thought about puppets.
You know? Exactly.
I should have. You know, I just couldn't compete with a singing turtle.
There you go.
Not many.
You're
can.
Nice and tiny. Maybe you just should have jumped on his lap at one point.
I know, like, maybe.
Dual winner.
New career path. I'm going to learn how to be a puppet.
There you go.
Well, then he would have wound up marrying you.
Whoa!
I'm still in roast mode, sorry. But yeah. Was it valuable?
It was very valuable.
Was the end result good?
Yeah, and it's fun to be just a part of the club. And there are, as you said, there are so many America's Got Talent alums here.
Yeah,
so
I mean, we have the other Michael Graham.
Michael Graham won.
Recycled Percussion.
Recycled Percussion, yeah.
Nathan Burton.
Mm-hmm. Murray Sawchuk.
Yeah.
Geechee Guy made the TV finals, the comic.
Oh, he did? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yes, he did. There's quite a few.
I need to catch up on my AGT.
Yeah, you know, one thing, we've had Michael in here a couple times, Graham, and I've done a big cover story about him for Las Vegas Weekly, and he said something during the course of my reporting about him that was very interesting, and I want to ask you about this, about America's Got Talent. He said that it would have been better off in his case for him to make it far into the finals than win.
Oh, that's always the case, I feel like, in any of these reality shows. Well, in general, you don't necessarily want to win. You want to be runner-up.
I want to know why. Why do you think that?
Oh, because you get all of the exposure, and then you also get the freedom to do whatever you want. If you win, you know, you're tied down for however long.
Oh, so it isn't, because I always assumed, like, for example, obviously I'm probably wrong. I always assumed that, let's say you get to be far in a show, that they still kind of keep you under contract. So example, like, just because you were, like, let's say, who won that season? Clay Aiken or Ruben Studdard? Ruben Studdard won it. The American
See, but
Idol.
You don't know, right? You don't know who won.
Well, I remember it was
but
a big
in this
clear,
case, but, the second place person was a lot more capable than the winner.
So also, didn't they have him under contract as well? Don't they have that right to hold you under contract?
I definitely think it depends on how far you get, for sure. But I guess just statistically speaking, the runner-ups have done better.
Yeah.
Well, in his case, it was that if you win in America's Got Talent, in that instance, that they have you for a year, basically, as you're under contract with them completely. Yeah. You make a CD, you get a $1 million annuity,
right.
You go on, you headline a tour, whatever tour they have afterwards. But you, how far along did you go?
I made it to Vegas and into the final rounds, but not all the way, obviously.
But in a roundabout way, that was your entry point into Las Vegas.
It was,
way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And it was really, it was just fun to be a part of all that. And I met a lot of local Vegas performers then, and that's really what planted the seed. So
now, what made the move over to iCandy?
Eye Candy offered.
There you go. Well,
no,
there you go.
It was there. No, I saw the show and I really loved it, and it's very much my style. I'm a real pop girl, and I love pop music, and the dancing and the energy of the show and all the songs. It's a fun show for a singer. Yeah.
So now, I have not seen the current version of Eye Candy Burlesque.
Well, it's always changing.
So now, what? Now the Sax Theater is beautiful theater. David Sax working from, but there's a lot of changeover as far as did you have any kind of even with all of his shows, he does a lot of changes as far as cast and as far as always changing the show, always making things different. We've seen how many different versions of Vegas the show.
Yeah, exactly.
That it's always good. I mean, were you just kind of thrown to the wolves? Like you had to jump in? Did you have a lot of prep time?
Well, I think just in general in this business, you learn kind of how to get spun around and then go and deliver. And it is fun because I do love, with a show that's always changing, you never get bored. And it also allows you the opportunity to do different material. So
did they change it up for you as opposed to who was in before you?
Yeah, they did. They did. They allowed me the freedom to make it my own. And then just depending on who's in it, you know, right now we have a reality guest star, Daisy De La Hoya, that's in it, and she has her specific numbers. And
so right, wait nice a minute, Daisy De La, she was on one of those Bret Michaels shows or something,
yeah.
Wasn't
yeah.
she? Okay, yeah.
I know that.
Okay. She was, yeah, on Rock of Love.
And
of
as Love. Is, you know, Rich Little's wife was also on Rock of Love.
Right, his current wife.
His current wife, yeah, Catherine. Wife. Yeah. Catherine was on there, so.
Yeah.
I know my reality shows, obviously, though.
Argument there.
But speaking of reality shows, you've did others. I saw something with David Foster. You did some sort of, you've done a bunch of different singing competitions.
I have done a lot of singing competitions, haven't I? No, I did it was a competition called Star Tomorrow, and David Foster was the judge, and he obviously, I was very, very flattered that he gave me some good reviews. I did that. And then I did a show called 30 Seconds to Fame, which is actually a long time ago, but they still air it on Fox, which is really funny because sometimes I'll just see the episode pop up. So It is kind of funny.
It was in perpetuity.
I know.
We've had over time, obviously, Las Vegas being an entertainment destination, a lot of singers come through, a lot of vocalists come through, mm-hmm. and, you know, do what you're doing, you know, hook up to shows and you know, with varying results. What is your objective here? You're sort of like a breakout in eye candy, at least it's in billing, you know, mm-hmm. with Maren Wade, mm-hmm. Establishing a name independent of anything for yourself. What is your idea, your career goal? Exactly. I mean, you know, as best as you can tell right now.
You know, ideally, I think I would love to start producing and doing my own shows around town. I've been very inspired seeing all the shows that have come about right now. And I see a pocket for me. So I love doing Eye Candy. I love doing all the shows in town. But I think the next ultimate step would be to make my own show.
What kind of show would you?
Now I've said it.
Would it be the type of show that Eye Candy is, or what would you envision?
Would it be originals, or you know?
I think it would be a little bit of a mix of both. I have that creative side. You know, I do write music. I do my own album, and I am creative in that way. So I would love to kind of meld, you know, my own versions of amazing, wonderful hit cover songs, and then also add in some original music as well. It's formulating. We'll have to wait and see, but.
But do you see your future being here in Las Vegas?
I do.
That you want to stay here?
I do. I really love it here. I love it here. I love the community of performers that are here. I think that there is just some amazing, amazing talent. All the people in Vegas, they have to work practically 6 nights a week and deliver impeccable performances every night. I mean, that mm-hmm. you look at, it's different in LA and a TV and film town. It's different in a lot of different places. Yeah. You look at, you know, the most popular, fabulous musicians, recording artists in the world, and a lot of them can't do what people and performers in Vegas do every single mm-hmm. night.
We've had a lot of Los Angeles-based performers come here and burn out. You know, it's just from the scheduling.
It's hard.
Because to do live performances up to 8 times a week is very, very difficult.
And also that you add into the fact that we are a 24-hour town, and we very much are. I mean, case in point, even, you know, this week, there's so many different things. But a lot of times, you know, you get off stage late. Sometimes you have two shows or however many. And then it is kind of then people gather late.
Uh-huh.
And so it does kind of, your schedule kind of gets, there's no 2:00 or 1:30 last call type situation.
Right.
And a lot of people congregate after their shows. They're kind of, you know, everyone's a little hyped up. Because,
we're all just,
you know,
vampires.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, pretty much, but it's like, it is a, but you have a venue,
bite.
You have a venue to be a vampire.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, places close in LA. So it's
I
like
do
a
love
lot
that
of people,
about Vegas.
Yeah.
Like I can go to sushi at 3 a.m. in the morning and it's actually good sushi. How many places in
But to some people, it takes its toll. Because you really can, you know, it's hard to keep a normal schedule in a lot of ways. So a lot of people do burn out with that. And also a lot of people have trouble with the, as a singer, with the dryness in the air. And so
that's always
something. Have you found that to be the case?
Oddly, I did. Oddly enough, it was funny. I'm not one of those, I'm not normally one of those singers that's like, oh, my voice. But there was one moment in one of the shows a couple weeks ago, I was so dry that I couldn't even like, I was like, it was really, I had to be like, and then go back to what I was saying. But it was the first time I really noticed it. It is very dry here.
Yeah. And also the fact that they're in the casinos, there is cigarettes allowed.
Yeah. Although, thankfully, they don't allow you to smoke in the theaters. So that makes it a little better. Yeah.
Unless you're part of Vegas, the show. I think they have a character or three that smokes on stage in that Rat Pack number.
Is it real cigarettes, though?
No. I like to think so.
We like to think that they're...
You're right. I don't want to ruin the image.
We want to think that they're really Stanislavski, that they're the method acting, and that basically they are drinking real alcohol, they're smoking, and they are... messing around with somebody in the back room.
As a singer, you know what I hope happens? So you know this new trend with electronic cigarettes and they have like no odor? And I want that to be like the biggest trend now. Where
so you take up smoking
just,
that way?
I would take up smoking if that became, yeah,
you could still do it as a gesture.
But it's so wonderful. You know,
but the tips are like blue and green. Yeah. The tips of those things.
Well, and they can do glittery ones, yes, too, after. I mean, we can make them very stylish. Exactly. You know, it's like the Sugar Factory. The Sugar Factory should make a line of bedazzled electronics. Exactly.
Right. Oh, that opens up a whole different...
Oh, no, wait. I said it anyway. Now. Great. I should have done it.
Well, you could
you
take credit.
That's my next idea.
You got to do it quick. You got to do it before tomorrow
morning. I know it's out there.
Before 7 a.m.
I'm gonna trademark it tonight.
Yeah, right. On your way home and that stick shifter.
Exactly.
We got to tell a story about how Marin got over here.
Yes. Oh, this is horrible. I'm never late. I'm very punctual. And I lent my friend my car and I had to drive a stick shift. I can't drive stick shift. I can barely drive automatic. And I'm driving the stick shift and I'm making wrong turns and I'm trying to turn around. And the hardest part is the turning around, the backing up, the starting. And I was just screaming and I finally just left the car. I just left
It was very, very funny because you were lost and you were a good ways away from the studio. And Kat said, well, the easiest thing that you could do would be to get back in your car. And you're like, no. I'm just going to walk. She's like, because I can't drive stick. And Kat is like, how are you going to get home?
So I'll figure it out later. But I can't do it. I'm just going to run. So I ran. I got my workout in too.
And it was so cute because she was like, Marin, you were like, does this happen to everybody? And we're like,
and there was silence.
No.
It was silence. I go, so do a lot of people have a hard time finding this place? And then there's nothing. I go, okay, just
if you saw the list of our guests, you'd be stunned that it happened. It hasn't happened to anybody.
Oh gosh, I'm so embarrassed now.
We've had them all.
We had some come in
Penny
a cloud
and Gazillionaire.
Of smoke.
Yeah.
Oh
nope,
my.
Nope. Angel Perino. Nope. Melody Sweeps. Nope.
Well, we've had
nope,
people
nope.
actually just miss the interview, but they've never been.
But they've been in a stick shift. They know how to drive when they miss the interview.
Oh well, thank God. At least I didn't miss the interview, right?
Yes,
that's good.
The professionals.
We're very
grateful.
And
you can say you're gonna run. You're gonna run. We're like, no, take your time.
I was like Rocky going up the steps. I'm like, I'm here.
It's not live. You're okay.
You don't want to look like you're fleeing, running around this campus. That's for sure. That's a good way.
You're right. I could have gotten in trouble.
Tell me about.
No, are you single, Marin?
Am I single?
Are you married? Are you?
I am married.
Okay, so now I assume your husband moved here with you.
He's actually in LA.
So okay, that happens more than not here in town. How do you do that? Because a lot of time performers, like on their day off, they're making the mad dash to LA and then come back. Like they get home, they're home for 20 hours a week. Is that difficult?
Well, we've worked out a good system where he comes in 2 to 3 times a week, you know, days a week out of the week.
Oh wow!
And, luckily, we've been apart much worse. I mean, when I've gone on tours and stuff, I've been gone for 3 months at a time, 6 months at a time.
Yeah, you did. I saw you did cruise ships. You
I
toured
did,
with the Radio City Rockettes.
I did. Yeah, I did that. That was an amazing experience. But you know, I'll be on the East Coast or I'm in moving places, you know, and that's a lot harder. So we think of this as like a really nice stretch here, where Vegas is only 45 minutes flight away, and so it works. And also, it's fun because we get to focus on our careers and then meet up and spend quality time together. He owns an electric motorcycle dealership.
Oh,
he sells
can you
electric
smoke
motor-
can you smoke electric
cigarettes?
Electric
cigarettes on electric motorcycles.
Electric
I know. I'm going to have him do that too. No, yeah. So he's an engineer by trade, and he customizes and really knows how to
electric
build them
motorcycles.
Yeah, electric. It's
you know what the great thing about the electric motorcycle is?
What?
No stick shift.
That's right. There are no gears.
There's no gearing.
And it's
you don't have to
right
leave one
line.
Of those things. And if you have to, you know, if you're lost and you need to park, you just carry it with you.
Exactly.
You can bring it indoors. It's actually quite fun to ride. I this is horrible of me. I don't really like motorcycles. I'm a scared person. I find them dangerous.
Well, obviously you were scared of the stick shifts.
I'm scared of everything in life. They're fun. These motorcycles are really fun, and they have no, you know, they're easy, and they don't have that loud rumbling noise. And
so now, now that you guys are, do you envision that, is he considering maybe moving here? Since mm-hmm. this is someplace that you want to stay, I would think that he would need to make the move.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm putting pressure on her husband. I've never even met him.
I know.
Is it Hollywood Electrics?
Yeah.
Okay.
How'd you know that?
I'm just guessing. You could go through the drive-thru if you guys decide to get hitched on electric
motorcycles. They are hitched.
I mean, oh yeah, that's right. I'm get renewal.
Renew.
Your anniversary.
Right. Some people think that marriage licenses aren't legal in Vegas, so you can
that's
understand.
Funny. Oh, okay, so we can do it all. So can I marry someone else then?
No, because I flashed on it because I just talked to a couple I met at a show at Mystere who had gone through the drive-thru on motorcycles to renew their vows.
Oh, so that's interesting.
Yeah, you can do that in Las Vegas.
Now I'm gonna have to do
and
that.
And you can advertise. You could please. It would make press because you're in a show, and then you could get publicity for your husband's shop. I mean, it'll be amazing.
I would love to do a magic trick with the motorcycle. We should get like one of the magicians in town to like make it disappear.
Yeah, you could put it in eye candy.
We there can put it in eye candy.
And it could come out on the stage because it's electric.
Don't have me riding
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You'll be sitting on the back with your electric cigarette.
It's going to fall into the audience. I wouldn't like to see what happens.
So this is kind of nice for you that you are in one place with all the traveling.
Oh, it's lovely. You know what the best part is? I get to have my dogs with me.
Oh, I'm so annoying like that.
I have two Chihuahua mixes rescues. I like everyone knows that I love them so much, and I mention them, I think, in every interview I do. It's not classy, but
no, please. I talk about my dogs quite often and their
obsessed.
Outfits that I put them in.
We're pro canine here.
Yes. Oh, lovely. That's the best part. That is the best part, is having my dogs with me.
I've actually had two of my dogs that have been co-hosts on the show.
Have they?
Yes.
I don't know what my dogs would be like.
Lily peed in the middle of a show.
The whole time.
When we were on television, Lily peed in the middle. All of a sudden, our guest is like, did the dog just pee?
It'd be great if you could get her to do it on cue.
Well, yes. Unfortunately, the radio station was not very happy that it was near the equipment, but that's okay.
No, that's true.
What are your dogs' names?
Gidget and Lenny.
Gidget!
I named Gidget.
For the TV character.
Yeah.
Movie character.
Inspired by Sally Field's character.
And Lenny?
And Lenny came as a Lenny, and he knew his name already, and he just looked like a little Lenny. So I kept him. He's this little short. He's got these stubby little legs. I think he might be like a Jack Russell mix, and he's a little chubby, and he's got cow spots, and he just looks at you, and he's just like, love me.
Aww.
And Gidget's very independent. Well, she's like my little hero. She's all like her own little.
And she rules the roost.
She does. She's the alpha.
Not many people know who Gidget is these days. That character.
I know.
It's an oldie.
It is.
I mean, it's a throwback to.
Right. I just remember that. She just was boppy and as a puppy. She was
and Gidget has an electric cigarette and electric scooter.
Oh, she would smoke a cigarette. Yeah. If I was getting mad at her, she'd just be like, I don't care about you, Mom. I'm not listening.
Ironically enough, Gidget can drive stick.
I bet you she could. She's very, very smart. Sometimes it scares me. She intimidates me. I'm like, what are you up to? You're running something on me.
She's loving the Vegas life. I've already heard that. She's got her own Twitter page. She's, you know.
I could hear.
I want to get back to eye candy. Before
okay. Oh, sorry. We're going to talk about what we came here to talk about.
Yeah.
I want to ask because eye candy is, it's a late show. Mm-hmm. So what time does it start? 11?
10:30.
10:30.
Yeah.
That's a tough time slot. Even in a high traffic area.
It has taken some adjustment. Yeah.
What's it like performing at that hour?
Well, now it's fun because you just adjust your schedule. I'm basically on Hawaii time is the way I look at it. You know, I wake up at like 9 a.m. Hawaii time.
There you go.
And then I work at, 7:30. p.m. Hawaii time. That's what I say to myself when I'm getting ready that I'm in Hawaii. No, but it's for a singer, it's actually quite great because, our voices take a while to warm up. So it's fun having a night show.
Right. Yeah. It's a tough sell, that show, to get people to get to it. I mean, because of the time. Also.
Yeah, it just depends. It's definitely more of a younger crowd, people ready to party. Let's just say we don't really get the seniors in at that time of night,
Yeah.
But they're more than welcome.
They are more than welcome. And I've had a couple. I did this one time not too long ago. I have a little bit where I bring an audience member up on the stage and I kind of do a little dance with them. I play with them. And I had an 85-year-old man crawl up the stairs to sit in the chair on stage with me. It was quite memorable.
So see, now your husband better get out here quick because he's going to lose you to this man.
He's going
to
lose me.
Octogenarians.
So now what is your dark night? What is your...
Tuesday nights.
Tuesday nights. So they're every night but Tuesdays, right?
Mm-hmm.
10:30 at the Sex Theater. Well, I cannot wait to see you in the show,
first of all.
We need
anytime.
To do this. We need to do it. We'll go down there.
And, and Katz would love to be brought up on stage and be sung.
Isn't there a guy who's about 85 who goes to the show all the time?
Oh,
isn't there a recurring fan?
There is. Oh, I don't think he's 85. I hope he hears this. No, his name is Charlie, and he's so fabulous. I think he's gone like 26 times now. We did a special thing for him on the 25th time. And he always comes in. He's so great because he makes rings out of like dollar bills, and he'll give us like little things like a ring or a bird. And he does this origami with these dollars, the money, and it's like quite impressive. I mean, he's just so great, and he's always there and smiling, and so we love when he's in the audience. We really do.
He's the eye candy fan. All right, well, we'll dedicate this episode to Charlie,
the origami master
eye candy fan. All right, well, thanks very much for coming down, Maren Wade.
Thank you for having me.
It was a lot easier to be on the show than to get to the show.
Oh my god. Thank god for that.
We'll have you on again, so we'll send a car for you.